imagine a world so hostile as to defy comprehension. Its oceans are made of molten lava. It has supersonic winds, and it literally rains rocks. Astronomers recently discovered that sphere somewhere at the edge of the solar system. They named it K2-141b. Maybe they should just call it Planet Hell. Sometimes life seems like a living hell, doesn't it? Like you don't need to die or hop on a rocket to K2-141b. If your life sometimes seems like a living hell, I have some ideas that might help you out. Stay with me.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
That new planet sounds just horrific. Almost as bad as a New York City subway in August. Or a women's rally to fight the patriarchy. That would be women with a Y. Or attending any commie political gathering. That would be hell to me. Because commies are always creepy and gloomy. It just oozes from their pores. But hell is an interesting word, an elastic word. One man's heaven can be another man's hell. Now, so often when I'm putting together a show for you, something happens out of the blue that adds a topspin or a direction or a missing piece of the puzzle, and that just happened once again. When you do a podcast, you pick up a lot of friends, some enemies too, if you're any good. I have friends now all over the country, all over the world, in Europe and Asia, South America, Australia. A lot of them are fantastic characters, such as one dude who refers to himself as Crippled Jesus. He's in college, and he's wheelchair-bound. Not only is he funny as hell, he's had me on as a guest on several of his podcasts, which are unfortunately on hiatus due to his course load at school. But the guy is also brutally honest and refuses to throw or accept any bullshit. A take-no-shit kind of guy. Which is what That Larry Show is all about, not taking shit. By the way, I am Larry. Crippled Jesus will not call himself handicapped or handicapable or disabled or any of the PC euphemisms currently en vogue in our so-called culture. He's perfectly okay with the word cripple as a self-descriptor, even though he plays competitive poker, coaches football, dates some pretty hot and pointy-looking women, and, though he's only 20 years old, he lives a life far richer and more enjoyable and more honest than millions of whiny jackals who have functional legs but manage to cripple themselves. People who create their own hell on earth. So I saw a tweet from Crippled Jesus that said, quote, "I've heard the word racism 20 times in my English class today, and it's only been 15 minutes. I think I died and went to hell," unquote. And that's what got me thinking about hell beyond the new Uber planet hell astronomers are buzzing about. Way back in another episode, which I regrettably cannot index, I told you about a hellish place I invented into which we should cast our enemies. It's called the Piss Tank. Essentially, it's the interior of an oil tanker filled with cat piss, or it could be a piss blend. The walls would be very slick, so residents would have to tread water, or piss actually, to not drown. Just to spice it up every now and then, the piss tank overlord would pour a few gallons of high-octane gasoline on the surface and light it up. And so as not to be immolated, swimmers would have to submerge for a while look for an area without flame and resurface to gulp some air and repeat the process. Sounds pretty hellish, right? But is there really a heaven and a hell, or did we just invent them as a way to reward ourselves and punish those who have fucked us over? And if there is a hell, do you have to die to experience it? A lot of us are quite adept at creating our own hell on Earth. And no matter how careful we are, sometimes we're thrust into hellish situations. For a time, I was an exec with a woman's magazine. Sounds like it could be a bonanza for a straight young dude, doesn't it? Trouble was, I was married at the time. But even were I not, not one of the women there were my type. There was a very low pointy factor, but it was more than appearances. It was what they were all about. So like most magazines or larger sales operations, every year was the big off-site sales meeting, where for 4 or 5 days, there would be endless fucking PowerPoints and breakout groups and team-building events, where they'd try to blow rah-rah smoke up your ass. I described one nautical-style off-site adventure way back in episode number 4. Larry fires his boss. One of the most downloaded ever. You can find it at thatlarryshow.com under the January 2017 tab. There you'll also find a thumbnail of me in a pencil skirt, frilly blouse with long brunette hair. So this particular meeting was held at a 5-star resort in the Southwest. Fucking place was spectacular. Plush casitas, each with a well-stocked bar and big wood-burning fireplace. Then there were several other bars, restaurants, free horseback tennis, massages, indoor and outdoor pools, and of course, it was all on the company. With a setting like that, it wasn't terribly unpleasant. Of course, I would rather have been enjoying the place with my wife, which I subsequently did. By the way, I was one of only 2 dudes that worked for the entire magazine. I guess that gender diversity stuff only cuts one way. And the other guy was gay. He was a cool dude. But we weren't exactly on the same frequency. I was a fish out of water. One night's entertainment was an old-time barbecue out on the range, and they did it up really swell. Bunch of local guys dressed up like cowboys lit a big bonfire, and then wheeled in a chuck wagon and a barbecue with an entire side of beef on a spit, and some guys sawing slices off it. Of course, there were beans and steak fries and IPA beers and red eye. And since it was a nearly all female event, there was plenty of wine spritzers and skinny girl cocktails. There was also a Western band. It was a regular hoedown, minus the hose. Once everyone's belly was full, we were attacked by an Indian dance party. These dudes had all the right feathers and moccasins with tomahawks and bells on their ankles. And they explained the symbolism of all their interpretive dance moves. It seemed the evening was morphing from an Old West barbecue into a cultural appreciation field trip. Once the faux Apaches packed it in, everyone was herded into a circle around the campfire, and I knew something hideous was coming. So I went over to the rolling bar, had the guy fill my blue-speckled cowboy coffee cup with bourbon. Then I watched and listened from the safety of the shadows. The bartender looked like an authentic old ranch hand. He had a white beard and a depth of wrinkles around his eyes that only could be formed by a life lived outdoors. As he handed me the bourbon, he said, "I believe you're going to need this." Then he jerked his head at the campfire. At that moment, all the women and the gay guy squatted down, sat cross-legged, and linked arms. One of them shouted, "Carole King!" And as they swayed side to side like BFFs forever, they belted, "Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, sometimes the blues get a hold of you." Oh. The bartender looked at me like he was trying to figure me out. He asked why I was here, and I told him I worked with a magazine. He wanted to know what it was about, and I told him it was about hair care products and exfoliants and vaginal dryness and sanitary napkins and whether or not a girl should give a blowjob on the first date. Then he said, you lose a bet or something? Then he poured me a second drink without my asking. I asked him what he was doing here, and he told me he'd been a rancher most of his life, sometimes right on the very property where we now stood. He told me he sold his ranch and retired, but then his wife passed, and now he worked for a pal who did catering, so he would not become a hermit. Behind me, I heard the girls begin a chorus of, I feel the earth move, and I sang, I feel my bowels move. The old guy laughed so hard, I wondered if he might bust a gut. And that's how it went for well over an hour. I stood there trading stories and jokes and laughs with a guy at least twice my age, and because of him, the evening turned from a slice of hell into a fun memory. He was a cool dude with a caustic sense of humor. And when I looked back on that time, I came to realize what hell really is. Absent illness or pain or incarceration, hell is not a place. Hell is people, the wrong people. Or to be more precise, the wrong people for you. Those women were not awful. They just weren't the kind of women I like to hang out with. And to be fair, I was, not in an environment that's conducive to real fun. Corporate meetings, no matter how grand and glorious the venue, are still the workplace. And all the rivalries and backstabbing and ass-kissing and jockeying for position are not left at the office. They come right along to the hoedown on the range. It's all about groupthink and forced gaiety. Picture yourself on a yacht, or at a ski resort, or a dude ranch, or some tropical paradise, whatever is your idea of the optimal location for fun and enjoyment. Then picture yourself there, surrounded by annoying cretins you'd rather strangle than shake hands with. Will Rogers famously said he never met a man he didn't like. Will mustn't have gotten out much. Often we find ourselves in shitty situations, and there's no instant exit. Maybe you're stuck in a job or a school you hate. That's institutional hell. If that's the case, you have to find a pal, a compatriot, a co-conspirator. That makes all the difference in the world. I went to a Catholic high school that was all guys and very rigid. They actually had a chooch whose title was Dean of Discipline. They were big on conformity. I fucking hated it. But after the first semester, I became friends with a couple of dudes who thought the same way I did, and we spent the next 3.5 years gaming their system. It was incredible. We secured our own private office where we kept a stocked beer cooler. We pulled outrageous stunts and hoaxes that kept the faculty chasing their own asses. We joyride in teachers' cars. It was so fantastic, we'd constantly try to top ourselves, and we always did, and we never got caught. I chronicled some of those adventures in a trilogy of episodes entitled Vengeance is Ours. You can find them at thatlarryshow.com in the April, May, and June 2017 tabs. When I think back on high school, I sometimes wonder if attending the one I did was actually an advantage. The adventures and laughs we had fucking with their oppressive system was fantastic. Had I attended a normal school, I might not have had so much fun. Of course, I lucked out by finding a couple of buddies who shared my worldview, or at least the view of the school. But in my experience, there's almost always somebody who does. And when you find that person or persons, hell can be kind of fun. Eventually, you get out of school, and you should never, ever keep a job that makes you miserable. But so many of us create a virtually permanent hell with relationships. I believe in that old bromide, better alone than in bad company. And I would expand it to say, or the wrong company. So many of us create our own hells by hanging on to shitty relationships simply because we don't want to be alone. I've been alone for some large chunks of my life, and that can get old for sure. But when I think back on those stretches, they were actually okay. I recall no pain. I did pretty much what I wanted when I wanted. But when you're in a relationship with someone that's not right for you, that's a living hell. Those are the times when you will really feel lonesome because you are not going to meet Mr. or Miss Right when all your time is spent with Mr. or Miss Wrong. Sometimes those shitty relationships aren't quite toxic or painful enough to push us into ending them. And those are the worst of all. They suck, but there's a certain comfort derived from them. Like those people stuck in lousy marriages, but not sufficiently lousy to terminate them. They're staying together until the kids are dead. For the most part, we do create our own versions of hell. But anything we can create, we can destroy. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Stop by the show page for more comment and commentary, as well as an archive of 281 other episodes, all there for your listening pleasure. And click a subscribe button, Apple, Google, whatever you prefer. It costs nothing, and that way you never miss an episode. Follow this show on Facebook and Twitter. We have a lot of fun there between episodes. Just plug That Larry Show into the search bar. You'll find us. Now, if you like what you heard, why not click that Patreon button and help me keep the show going? Once you join the Take No Shit Dojo, you gain access to a plethora of goodies, from signed books to custom recordings to an archive of bonus content. And if you're on the horns of a dilemma, we've got a deep bench of senseis with a remarkable track record of helping listeners with everything from romance to weight loss. So drop me an email at thatlarryshow@gmail.com and we'll try to help you out. I'll see you next Wednesday. And until that time, take no shit. Mm-hmm.